How many of you out there have written a book? Let me rephrase that question. How many of you out there have published and successfully put it between two book covers, or maybe an ebook that you've been able to claim your name to, or with another co-author? It's not an easy process. I've started the process one time. I've had ideas for two different books, but I've not acted on it, not even remotely close. And unfortunately, I have lived vicariously through those that I know who are successful in doing so. And today, on this episode of Beyond My Day Job, you're going to hear firsthand stories about the highs and lows behind the scenes of publishing a book. And our guest today will be John Bailey. And he has put much thought about his personal career and told many stories about what it means to have outstanding character and what that can do for both your personal and business success. So thank you again for joining us for another episode of Storytelling on Beyond My Day Job. My name is Lonnie Miller. Stay tuned. You're going to hear from one amazing and top-notch classy gentleman by the name of John Bailey. Hold on. Here we go.
Hello, John Bailey.
Lonnie Miller, how are you?
I'm doing well. You are near and clear.
All right. That sounds good.
Yes. Ah, well, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
For those listening to this episode of Beyond My Day Job, usually, as you know, we interview folks who are really involved in high effort hobbies, and I shall not disappoint with the stories that John will share with you. But I thought maybe, John, you could share with everybody kind of what your ex-day job or career was and kind of what you get to focus on these days that keeps you busy.
Okay, you mean the one I did for like 45 years or something?
Bingo.
Yeah, so I was a public relations professional and worked for other public relations agencies for a number of years and started my own firm in the mid-1990s and called John Bailey and Associates Public Relations and was with that right up until 2012 when I sold the company and retired. But during that time, I had just a tremendous experience in public relations and met lots of people. And and really, that kind of set the stage for when I woke up one morning and said, aha, I know what I want to do now.
Which brings us to our topic today, the joys and adventures of publishing. Yeah. let's dig into that adventure.
Okay.
So you know you so to speak, not totally, from a PR career, but
right.
What gave you the bug to write your first book?
There were some things I did or was part of doing with my company and in my career that I felt were very significant and that I wanted to kind of write them down. And at the very first, I wasn't thinking of a book. I was thinking of writing down a couple of experiences that I had for, you know, really for my family. And one was when I met the president of the United States, George W. Bush.
Yes.
That was in 2005. And I thought, boy, I've got to write that down because, it's, you know, it was such a special event and time and that I want to be able people to know in 50 years or 100 years, what did great-great-grandpa John, well, how did he meet the president? So that's what I did. I wrote that down. And when I got that done, I said, you know what? There was another experience I did, too, that was pretty good, pretty cool. So, and that was my experience with the Stroh Brewery Company, which was a Detroit-based brewing company for many, many years, a century and a half. And I worked with them for about 15 years. But right when they were trying to go national and compete with Anheuser and Miller, who they who were number one and two in the brand industry or the beer industry brands at that time, and did it. They were fighting and were number three, a strong number three, and when all of a sudden they kind of ran out of money and weren't able to keep it up. Yeah. So I wrote that down too. When I got that, I thought, maybe I can tie this all together.
And you just kept on writing.
I kept on writing. And, you know, really almost ironically, Lonnie, my book is called The Power of Ownership. And your listeners hearing that for the first time might be thinking, oh, he's going to talk about his business. And it isn't really, it is about my business, but it's more about owning yourself and owning your career and owning what you have before you and things that, you know, that you can do to make yourself the best person, the best
that, you can be. That kind of your own reputation, if you will, you know, kind of what your own character represents.
Yes, you own it. And so that became kind of an underlying theme as well. And these were those two things that I mentioned were examples of what I did and how I went about, you know, my career and serving the Strobe Brewery Company for 15 years. And then also, you know, how I got to the point where I met the president. So
that became it. Let me ask you kind of with that inspiration, you know, from a standpoint of other people that have thought about writing a book, let alone getting it published. What were your expectations going into it?
Well, you know, these days you can self-publish. And so, and self-publishing means that, you know, you can write a book about any subject you want. I mean, obviously a responsible, respectable subject. I mean, and you can write that book and you can pay to have it published.
Right.
And so that is something that really is relatively new. But it allows people to publish a book that they might not be able to, might not have been able to beforehand. Because otherwise, you have to find an agent and you have to find a publisher. And you have to have your manuscript has to be done. Your photos have to be, everything has to be done. And then you go looking for a publisher and you've got this, you know, 220 page book. And if somebody doesn't like it, then it just says, no, thank you very much. And you're out.
So you're like walking around publisher street saying, hey, who wants to publish this?
That's correct. And it's really tough. And there are many, many stories of very successful books that were declined many times before somebody said, you know, okay, we'll publish that book. Okay. And it turned out to be a huge success. So, but in my case, and in many people's cases these days, you can publish your own. It's not cheap, but you can buy a package that is that fits your budget to a degree, at least. And, so that's what I did. And then they also help you set up marketing, and they help you with the layout of the book and the selection of the cover, and they even critique the copy itself to, you know.
So, John, I want to come back to the point. You know, obviously, you've successfully got to, you know, you got the package that kind of got you to self-publish, right? And as you know, you get on a minute ago with the marketing, and you know, they looked at the copy and such. I mean, was that satisfactory to you? Was that kind of how did that work for you, really, with that setup?
I got a good product.
Okay,
That is for sure, and at least I think so. And it's so that was successful. They don't help you market the book as much as they let on.
I've heard that from other people that are publishers. Yeah. Like, it's pretty much on your back to get the word out.
Yep, it is. And so I kind of liken it to they help you build an airplane and then they say, here are the keys and walk away. What do I do now? And it's go ahead, go for it.
Okay.
And that's the one downside part of it. But you know, I can't tell you. I mean, when the package came in the mail, and I've got the first book right in my hand now, and I opened the package, and there's the book number one, and it's called the proof copy. But Oh my goodness, what a thrill.
Oh, I bet. That, I can't imagine.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's just wonderful. So
was it marked like in its, it's just a, it's the proof copy. That's what they meant.
It just says a proof copy on one of the inside pages, and but other than that, it's the exact book.
Okay.
So yeah, and the corner is cut off the cover, so you never can
got
see
it. Right.
Go on. So yeah, it was.
Oh, rewarding.
Yeah, it was really fun, and it was worth it to get to that point. And but now I know, and you know, I know that's something that's going to happen. So with my second book,
yeah,
planning that, and I'm you know, I'm way ahead of where I was with the first book.
All the wiser.
Yes, exactly.
tell us what's your second project? What's the second book about?
Well, the second book is kind of spinning off of something that relates to the first book. In other words, it was a client of mine that was the R.L. Polkin Company, which was the attainer of data and publisher of directories. And they did direct mail and had automotive statistics on every vehicle in the country and from day one. And so I'm writing about that because the company is was 143 years old, started by the founder who mustered out of the Civil War and after a couple of years started his business, moved to Detroit, and started this business, which became a massive business and one that was a leader and a pioneer. And it may not sound interesting to your listeners, but it is so interesting to experience as much as we can what he did and what his successors did. Just for example, he went door to door selling directories.
Which is pretty much like before the Yellow Pages.
Yeah, so it was. And before the Yellow Pages and the telephone books.
Yep.
But it was 1870.
My gosh.
There were no sidewalks. There were no roads. There were no cars. There were no doorbells. You know, there were knockers on doors, or you just knocked on a door. And the distance between residents and businesses was usually much longer than it is now. So it was a lot of walking.
Right, rural, yeah.
Yeah, so when you think of it that way and think of the history that he experienced and that his company experienced as it relates to the United States, you know, what they did during the wars, what they did during depressions, how they changed and evolved through all those years to, you know, to be the company that they were. And the founder's great grandson, his name was Ralph Lane Polk.
Okay.
He was succeeded by his son, grandson, and great-grandson, who were all named Ralph Lane Polk. So there were four men named Ralph Lane Polk, the head of the company. And when the last one passed, and that took over at that time, was named Stephen Polk.
Yes.
So he's the book is a little bit about him, too, and how he took the company to the next level and, you know, with all of the involvement of electronics and stuff. So it had to have been because he started making decisions and doing some things that were perfect for the company and perfect for at the time as well. And we're trying to draw. He was born in 1955, the same year as many other key people in the electronics or computer industry were born, including Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and others. And these guys grew up with computers. They were in there. They grew up with the beginning of computers.
Absolutely, in the 50s, right.
Yes, they were experimenting. They were learning. They were doing programs themselves. And he brought that passion for electronics to the company, which really needed that passion because of the business they were in of keeping records and statistics. So he brought that, and that was huge. And he made some business decisions at the very beginning that cost money and therefore caused some financial strain, but turned out to be very wise acquisitions.
Okay.
If for no other reason that when they sold them, they got $260 million.
The fact that you got on President Bush's, the White House's radars, that's a fun story. That's something certainly I'm glad you were able to capture that for posterity purposes. Having known you for nearly 20 years, I was, one of your internal customers and worked with your team and you personally. I know what you wrote about in your first book, The Power of Ownership, How to Build a Career in a Business. It's a really genuine reflection of you. And I can't thank you enough for
thank you.
Being kind enough for sharing and sharing with our listeners here about what you've been going through to get just a nice, nice oral narrative, down on paper for other people to learn from.
Thank you very much, Lonnie.
Yeah, no, thank you. And stay with us, folks. Again, you are listening to an exciting episode of Beyond My Day Job, as we can talk about how to, publish a book, but from the standpoint of someone who's been doing it in a couple of different approaches. But the audio segment that John referenced earlier with President Bush's 2005 speech at the Detroit Economic Club, hang tight. We'll share that with you here in a moment. And John, thank you again for being our guest today.
You are very welcome, Lonnie.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
No one knows the power of ownership better than American entrepreneurs. John Bailey is with us. It's an interesting story about entrepreneurship and optimism. 9 years ago, after a life in public relations, he found himself trapped in a company that offered no hope for advancement. His wife sounds like a pretty straightforward woman. I'm about to quote her. Kind of reminds me of Laura. He said, "What part of writing on the wall can't you understand?" They don't want people over 50, is what the wife was telling John. He didn't get discouraged. He responded in true American fashion. He went out and he founded his own firm. And today, John's business is one of the largest public relations firms in Michigan. And here's what he had to say. "It's very daunting to go out there. But I learned that it can be done. That hard work and strong ethic pays." He went on to say, "It sounds corny, but good guys do finish on top." The dream of a hopeful America is to say that if you work hard and dream big, no matter who you are, you can finish on top. Thanks for letting me come. God bless.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.